You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, KROX in Crookston, Minnesota, 1260 AM and 105.7 FM, as well as 92.1 FM in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. I'm Cameron Heron, and it's 1041 AM on this Tuesday, September 5th, which means it's time for the Valley Talk program. And I've got a couple of very special guests on the show here today. I've got Alan Dragseth and Don Andringa, chairman of the board for Alan Dragseth and a committee member for Don of the board of the Red River Sugar Beet Museum. How are you guys doing today?
Just fine.
Very good.
That's good to hear. And of course, you're here to talk about a very highly anticipated event coming up in the community, the Harvest Festival put on by the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Museum. But before we get into that, I guess I kind of wanted to ask you kind of what the board that you guys are on does and like what their mission is and all that good stuff. So,
well, I guess our mission would be to collect and old vintage sugar beet equipment and pictures and memorabilia and display it at our museum.
And coming up on Sunday, September 10th, will kind of be the display of all that machinery and actually harvesting sugar beets with the old stuff.
So how long has this this sugar beet museum been in around for?
Well, we incorporated in 2004, so this is our 19th year. Nice. But it's our 18th year for the Harvest Festival.
Yeah.
Time's going by fast.
And, of course, Alan's been working on it for many, many more years before that.
Yeah, sounds like a very cool thing that's been added to our community in recent years. It's always good to have stuff like that that tells people about the history and whatnot of all this stuff and even the present stuff, because I assume there's modern stuff there too, right?
Yeah, well, not much modern. Well, we're going to have something different. We're going to have a new concept in harvesting sugar beets. Farmer from Sauk Center, I believe he's from, has developed a machine and he wants to bring it up and show it. So we're going to be running that on Sunday afternoon on the field right east of CVC that is Bruce Hansen and his boys have. And this machine it's a pull-type machine, but it does everything, rotobeating, scalping, lifting, and I think from the picture I've seen, it looked like there's a storage cart on the back, so that if anybody's interested in seeing this, it should be worthwhile there coming.
Yeah, very, very interesting stuff. So let's go ahead and get into this event, this Harvest Fest that's coming up. So what day is it?
It's on Sunday, September 10th, coming up here, our very closest Sunday. And the Harvest Festival is one of those things that people come from up and down the valley and all around. And at the different ones I've been to, I bump into different people, and they're always... never were really too excited maybe about coming, but once they got there, they were really blown away about what's going on and how things happened and the history of it. And to me, as a retired modern sugar beet farmer, it's a whole lot of work in the old days.
Oh, yeah. Of course, all these technological advances have maybe made a lot of farmers spoiled, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it's good to kind of maybe get that, I don't know, humbling of like, oh wow, this is what it used to be, and it's just informative.
It gets to be quite a day. At 11 o'clock, they start harvesting sugar beets with the old machinery. At 12 noon, then Jeremy Brault has lined up a tractor pull, and they've had that for a year or two in the past, and that's always a good draw and very interesting. And then is it Mark Knox?
Mark Knox will be.
Be there
threshing wheat
with an old steam thresher. I think this year they're not going to use the
steam engine.
The steam engine itself, they're just going to hook on a John Deere tractor and use it that way. Makes it a little simpler. It's a lot to get ready when they use the boiler and the steam.
But in years past, they used that other machine.
Yes, they have.
But it just took like too long.
Well, steam engines have to get state approval every year to use them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're even getting that done to them.
Yeah. For sure. So, yeah, you mentioned some of these cool things like the tractor pulled, and you just kind of, you know, briefly mentioned them. Do you want to kind of chat about more in depth on some of these things, like what people can expect to see at them?
Alan, you kind of more up with Jeremy on that.
Well, I think they come out of North Dakota, the group that has this sled that they pull. There's one group out of East Grand Forks. We had them the first year, and then the last 2 years we've had Jeremy's from, I'm not sure where it is in North Dakota, but they hooked old tractors up that they've souped up, and it's quite an interesting thing, and it works real nice at our, because we got kind of a lower area behind the museum, and so people can sit on the hill in their golf carts or lawn chairs and almost, watch this. And
almost kind of like natural stadium seating. Yeah. That's kind of
so
nice.
So far, I haven't seen a tractor blow up, so I don't know how they keep running. But
that would not be good. But and what about what are some of, you want to describe some of these vintage machines that are going to be there at the event?
Well, we'll have a one row. Crookston's the logical place to have a sugar beet museum, because this is where the first sugar beets were grown in the Red River Valley. The guy moved here from Michigan named Carl Wiggin. This is what we're told. And he had raised sugar beets in Michigan. He planted some in his garden up in the north end of town and harvested them with a fork, I suppose, in the fall, and put them in gunny sacks and shipped them to Chaska, Minnesota, where there was a beet factory, and they ran them through their tests and said they're good quality, good sugar, plant some more, and he did. And that's grown into American Crystal, which some years we've had as high as 500,000 acres or more planted. They've cut back on that because of the yields have been going up, and we can only process so much with the factories we got. But anyway, they've been raised here, you know, for, what would that be, just about 100 years now. The sugar beets have been raised in Crookston. The side thing on this, Carl Wiggin, I got a call from a guy in California last winter, and he said, we were just cleaning up some of my great-grandpa's stuff, and I found some letters from his brother from Crookston. His name was Carl Wiggin. I said, yeah, we know the name. He said, well, would you like these letters? He said, they're in German, and he couldn't get anybody to translate them. And so I said, yeah, send them. So he sent me these letters. They're from one is postmarked 1916 and one 1919.
Wow.
But I haven't found anybody that, he said they're probably Russian, German.
Yeah, like some like different dialect that maybe Google Translate evidently wouldn't be able to.
There was a girl here this winter, an exchange student from Germany that George and Ray French had at their house. And I gave her a copy of one of them. And finally, after checking with her several times, she said, well, I don't understand cursive too well.
Oh.
Evidently, they don't teach it in Germany anymore either. And she said, he's either saying the children are okay or the cattle are okay. I said, well, that doesn't help me an awful lot.
Well, at least it kind of gets you that he's concerned about the safety of some sort of living thing under his roof. So anyway,
we'll get the getting back to the Harvest Festival. We'll be running a one-row International lifter, a one-row John Deere lifter, and a one-row Marbeat that we've restored over the years, and then a two-row John Deere, and we have a self-propelled, we call it a Maxwell. It was developed by Max Campbell up at Oslo, and it's a self-propelled machine. It's quite an interesting machine for people to watch. They seem to like it, and it does a fair job too.
Yeah, it's cool that, you know, this area is tied with so much history of a very important industry within this Red River Valley. So I think that is something that a lot of people would be very interested in. Even if maybe you're like, this doesn't seem like the type of thing for me, you could definitely learn a lot and maybe even find yourself a new, like, interest.
Yeah, you see, on a lot of the old machinery, they were developed and refined by guys from this area. And so it's neat to see that.
For sure. So to go back to the event itself, there's going to be a food truck there as well. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Correct. I think, what did you call it, Alan?
Barnyard Bites, she
called it. Barnyard Bites.
It's from Beltrami.
Beltrami?
We've had her. This will be the third year we've had her.
What type of food do they serve? Everything?
I'm not sure, yeah.
Little bit everything, I assume? Just
don't usually have time to go check the menu, but
you know,
I think she had pulled pork sandwiches and maybe hamburgers. And
nice.
So you can get, for a number of years when we first started this, we'd have a pulled pork dinner, pulled pork sandwiches, potato salad, and hire somebody to cater it. But it got to be so much work for the wives of the board members, and they're all getting older like we are, and so we finally decided not to. Well, we didn't have one the year of the pandemic, and so after the pandemic, then I got a food truck to come in, and we'll have a bus running between.
Yep, I was just about to ask that.
Okay, between our site and the Poconee Historical Museum site. Just down the road, it's not a long ways, but they don't have much parking at their place. And we've got more parking, so we've had a bus, free bus that takes people back and forth on the half hour.
Do you have to like register or sign up for that at all,
or just
get on the bus and go?
We'll have a sign up that has the hours. It leaves our site on the hour and leaves their site on the half hour.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have, to be able to get to these, especially if maybe you don't have a mode of transportation yourself. But
we probably should recognize our entire board. We got a 10-member board. You got to know listed there, Donnie.
Yeah, Elliot Solheim, Lonnie Keel, Bruce Erdman, myself, Lee Thorson, Rick Niemela, Mouse Sullivan, Alan, of course, Tim Boucher, and Del Roloffs. And we're also available on Facebook at RRV Sugar Beet Museum.
Nice.
We got some young guys that are techie enough to get us going there.
Yeah. That's good as well. And is there a website that you can go to figure out more details about this event?
Well, we've got a website. We've had sugarbeetmuseum.com, but I think Lee and his son keep the Facebook more up to date than our website. And I think American Crystal will have some of it on their site too, because Lee gets the old print shop to send over a copy of our flyer.
Well, sounds like a lot of good information there. Again, for those of you just tuning in, we have Alan Dragseth and Don Andringa, part of the board of the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Museum, talking about the Harvest Fest. You want to quickly kind of recap the small details about this event?
Mm-hmm. Well, right, it'll be starting at 10:30, and at 11 we're going to start the sugar beet harvest, 12 p.m. the tractor pull, and I guess I don't see a time on here for when they're going to do the steam threshing for the wheat, but it'll be a great day. And come on out and get your fingers a little dirty and see how things go.
Yeah.
There's no entry fee or anything, so people can just come out there. And we have a lot of other equipment that we don't use in the field on display. So come out and just walk around.
A lot of different hand tools, and Alan's usually got a little movie running in there on how things were done in the real early days when it was more so hand labor.
Yeah. So, is there anything else that you wanted to chat about this event before we wrap it up here?
I can't think of it right off. Ask me in about a half an hour.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes. Well, thank you very much, Alan and Don, and hopefully a lot of people come out to the Harvest Fest, and it should be a good time.
Thank you, Cameron.
Yep, thank you. And now let's go ahead and get the update from the Minnesota News Network here on the Voice of the Valley, KROX.